Well, I'm sure that most of you are aware that God uses many different metaphors and analogies to try to help us understand who he is and what he's like. So he'll use things that we tangibly, practically can see and understand, and then parallels them to who he is and what he's like. So today we're going to look briefly at one of those analogies, one of the ideas of how God relates to us, and we're going to look at what it means for God to be our shepherd. What does that really mean? Now, in our world or in our country in the US, we really don't have a lot of shepherds to look at and glean from, but throughout scripture, when Jesus and we'll see in a couple of Old Testament passages, the audience would have been very familiar with what a shepherd was and what they did. And so he's using a very tangible, practical vocation to describe and help the audience understand who he is. So we're going to start in John 10, and it says, this is Jesus talking. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock, he scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and he doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. That was Jesus talking to his disciples, and a couple of things as I read through that passage that stood out to me are that a shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd is willing to die for his sheep because that's his vocation. They're his means of income. And he, you know, a shepherd gets to know his sheep in an intimate way and is willing, like it says here, to die for them. A shepherd knows his sheep, and the sheep know the shepherd. I saw a video on YouTube a few months ago where some tourists were touring over in the Middle East, and they came up on a shepherd's pen, and the guide was talking to them about the fact that sheep are trained to listen for and respond only to the voice of their shepherd. And so he told this group of tourists to call out to the sheep. And so you've got 8 or 10 tourists, all of them calling and doing different things to try to beckon the sheep to come. And not one sheep even raised their head from grazing. And then the shepherd of those sheep called out one word, and the sheep lined up and ran right over to him. And it was pretty phenomenal. And he used that illustration to make the point that, you know, sheep are trained to listen for and know and recognize the voice of their shepherd. And Jesus here says he is our shepherd and that we can and need to know his voice. He also says that there are other sheep that are not of this pen. And I believe he's referring there to the Gentiles, to the non-Jew, because in context, Jesus is talking to Jewish people, but he's like, but there's it's bigger than just the nation of Israel, that there are other sheep, and that includes us today. In the Old Testament, we see in Ezekiel another reference to the shepherd. In Ezekiel 34, it says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of cloud and darkness. I myself will tend my sheep, and I have them lay down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Then they will know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord. You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord. Here we see that the shepherd looks after his sheep. He searches for them when they're lost or missing. Thus, Jesus telling the parable of the 99 and the one lost sheep. He rescues his sheep when he finds them. He tends his sheep. He provides for whatever they need. He heals them when they're sick, when they're broken, when they're weak. These are all actions that a shepherd will advocate towards his sheep. And God's going, I'm the shepherd and you're the sheep. So these are all ways that we can and do and should relate to God. And so part of, as I was reading this, part of what I want to encourage you to think about is, where have you seen God in your life doing some of these actions, providing for you, nurturing you, chasing after you? You know, we all go through seasons where life throws things at us that don't make sense. And when that happens, we can go astray, not lose our faith necessarily, but just be off balance. And the comfort here is that even when that happens, God is continually looking after and pursuing us to draw us back to himself. When we don't feel like we have what it takes, he says he gives us his strength. You know, Paul illustrates that, you know, I boast in my weakness, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because God's power and strength are displayed in our weakness. The most famous passage, though, that talks about God as a shepherd is the 23rd Psalm. And this was a Psalm of David. And of course, this was written before either of the other two passages that I read were even penned or even lived out. David already recognized God as his shepherd, and David himself had been a shepherd. So he was talking from personal experience, both as a shepherd and as a person after God's own heart who experienced God as his shepherd. The 23rd Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here, David, who again had been a shepherd his whole life, seeing God in that role, says that God provides for all of my needs. I will not be in want. Just like a shepherd provides for all of the sheep's needs that he's caring for. I've heard it said that sheep are the dumbest animal created by God. So I guess it's not a coincidence that we're compared to sheep. I've heard that a sheep left in a green, lush field will actually eat themselves to death if the shepherd doesn't move them along and get them away from the food, because that's just who they are. They don't have any common sense, I guess. But the shepherd it says that, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. When we see God as our shepherd, when we relate to God as the one who is watching over and taking care of and providing us, then there's nothing that we need that we're not going to have, because he's looking out for us. He makes me lay down in green pastures. We are probably our own worst enemies. Most people that I talk to, when I ask them how they're doing, you know, they're busy, they're tired, they're exhausted, they're running on empty. And if they don't stop and begin to take care of themselves, they will stop. God will make them lay down. It may not be in a comfortable place. It may be in a hospital bed, but he will make them lay down, because we were created and designed to have rhythms that include rest and care. God restores our soul. God is the one who replenishes us and nourishes us. He's given us a lot of different ways in order to refresh our soul. And I just want to encourage all of us to really reflect on that. What brings you joy? What revives your soul? What is it? It may be sitting out in nature. It may be going on a walk. It may be, you know, whatever. But I want to encourage you to take the time to nurture your soul, because if your soul gets fried, then you're not going to be of any use vocationally. You're not going to be of any use to the Lord or to your family, because you're just going to be exhausted on every level. So look to God to restore your soul. But one of the ways that he restores our soul is that helps us to become aware of what brings us joy and refreshment, and provides opportunities for us to do those things. It says that the shepherd guides us. God has given us his word. He's given us mentors and wise people. He's given us everything we need for life and everything we need for godliness. He's already made available. We just have to access what he's given us. When we experience hard and difficult realities, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we talked about this some last week, when we experience seasons of difficulty and hardness or uncomfortableness, he says, I will not fear, because God is with me. David understood what I shared last week from Isaiah, that in the midst of whatever circumstances we find ourselves, God is with us. And his promise is that he's going to see us through whatever those circumstances might be. His rod and staff comfort us. How does a rod comfort? Well, a couple of things. One, if a sheep is down in a cliff or in any way going astray, the shepherd comes alongside and bumps him with the rod and gets him in line, or hooks him and pulls him up if he's fallen over like a ravine. The shepherd also uses the rod and the staff to fight off predators who might be coming in after his sheep. So the sheep sees the shepherd with the rod and the staff, and it brings comfort to him. And God says that he comforts us, and he's going to provide for and protect us in that same way. In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. God delights in us and over us. That's a hard concept, but that's what the Bible teaches in so many places, that God created us and that God loves us unconditionally. He delights over us, even to the point that when we find ourselves with enemies, that we can sit down at a full banquet and be at peace in the presence of our enemies, because God is going to provide for us and set the table for that to happen. He anoints our head with oil. That's like blessing us. He blesses us on a regular basis. Our cup overflows. Truthfully, we lack nothing that we need, according to the Bible. Now, we may lack things that we think we want, but we don't lack anything that we need. In fact, it overflows. And then the psalmist, or David, says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. You know, two of the characteristics of God are that he's good and that he loves us. If we can go back to that basic foundation, that God is good and God loves me, then whatever may be happening in my life at any point in time, as unsettling, as confusing, as difficult as it may or may not feel, if I can hold on to, but God is good and God loves me, and I would add, and God is sovereign, he's in control, then I can be at peace in the midst of whatever's going on, because the shepherd of my soul is with me and has me in this moment. And then, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, I read that and I think he's not talking about when I die, I'm going to be in the presence of God. He's saying, I dwell in the house of the Lord. God's presence is a very real, tangible actuality for David in this psalm, and available for us today in 2024, that we can dwell in the house of the Lord, experiencing his presence moment by moment, day by day. Three passages, there's several more in the Bible that just unpack or that talk about God as a shepherd. So I just want to encourage you sometime over the next few days to just pause and reflect on what does it mean for you personally that God is your shepherd? How have you seen God shepherding you? What does that mean for you as you look at whatever's going on in your personal world right now? What is knowing that God is with you, beside you, before you, behind you, knowing you by name and promising that he's never going to leave you? How does that affect what you do day to day, week to week? That's God is our shepherd. So let me close in prayer so you can turn off the recording.